This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is almost 5:18 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hezriel, and we're talking about the Grab Malaysia app and how it can be used to facilitate travel during the MCO. So this comes as the police received 300,000 applications for interstate travel permits in just 12 hours over the weekend. And this is after Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob, the senior minister of defence, announced that the government is slowly letting several groups of people to return home, given that it's been more than a month since Malaysians, including university students on campus, had to stay put in their respective locations.
That's right. People have complained that they've run out of clothes to wear or that they simply want their children back to spend Ramadan with the family. And as the government recognizes that the rakyat is getting restless and, more importantly, understands that there are valid reasons to leave their neighborhoods for things like funerals or medical treatments, streamlining ways to give travel permits is important. And that way, we can avoid crowding at police stations and still maintain physical distancing.
Yeah, so looking at the app itself, as of right now, the police are prioritizing applications for those who have been stranded in their kampungs and are looking to go back home. The dates for travel will be from May 1st to May 3rd, and each day will... a certain day will apply to certain states. Basically, the steps are as follows. You apply via the app and provide details like your name and IC number, as well as enabling your GPS location. If you're allowed to travel, you'll be given a unique QR code, which will be scanned at roadblocks. The police say that this process will help them with road preparations and ensure smooth travel. And I believe university students are going to be able to head home tonight.
That's right. Yeah, and the DG mentioned that in his press conference just now.
Yeah, exactly. So we're now going to head over to and have a chat with Ran Singh Sidhu, partner at Law Partnerships. But in the meantime, if you have any thoughts on this app itself, have you experienced it? How's it been like? You can let us know. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. So Ryan, thanks so much for being on the show. Now, in terms of employing tech to coordinate interstate travel during the MCO, what's your take on the app itself? Are you pleased with the outcome?
Yes, I am. And I think this is a very good idea. I'm glad that they've come up with an app, because the first time that they tried to give this permit, and I think the police and the rest of the administration were clearly not ready for the influx of people that were just going to throng the various police stations around the country. And that sort of had a reverse effect of what they were trying to achieve, which was to manage the flow of people from the cities or the countryside over to where they need to go. So obviously, you know, there was a lesson learned, and I don't blame them because things were just going on at such a pace. So now with this app, clearly they have rectified or looked into an important aspect of how to manage the flow of people. And by having an app, and also more importantly, by only regulating the travel time to be within a certain fixed period, here being on the 1st of May, May Day up to the 3rd of May, and allocating it. I saw what they were doing. They're sort of distributing the movement of people according to the state. And I'm sure there's some science behind why they've selected certain states and why on the 2nd of May there are more people moving. So I think there's certainly more thought that has gone into it. In that sense, it's a much needed relief, and it's a welcome thing. I welcome that this app has come about, and I hope there would be more in terms of how things are to be managed during this MCO period.
Do you foresee a learning curve for either the public or the police when it comes to using Grab Malaysia?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the learning curve is happening more, if I may just say so, my opinion here. It will happen more on the administrative side of things, on the regulator, on the police, on the administrators, because I think all this time they were always sort of in a situation where they didn't have to go out and manage or come up with new applications or find new ways of doing what has been going on for some time, because everything was just in a very status quo format. But this whole MCO, the whole COVID-19 lockdown, has resulted in situations that are unprecedented, unexpected, and therefore for the administration of justice, administration of people, and just what's going on in the country, there has to be that steep learning curve of having to now come up with apps, systems, processes, even SOPs to find out how best to now let people do what they always have been doing, rather than to have a revolt on their hands and make it work in ways in which they never thought of before. So I do expect and think that there's a quick, a very steep learning curve on that side. On the people, I reckon Malaysians are generally quite tech savvy, you know. I mean, you look at the tech uptake in this country, whenever a new application comes up that is popular, it just grows very quickly in a natural, organic way. It gets very viral sometimes. So in that sense, it is big, I'm not so concerned about the locals not, you know, having to learn very quickly. Some of them already are very fast at it. But maybe the older generation, they may have to now find, you know, this way to an opportunity to, you know, come to terms with the fact that this is the new norm. So in that sense, I would say these are two categories of people who are now being pushed into a situation where they say, okay, we can't run away from this. We have to, you know, go ahead and make it work.
Let's zoom in a little on the admin side. They've received 300,000 applications so far. What sort of capacity and manpower would the government need to vet the applications accordingly, especially within the short time frame that they have?
So to my mind, the most important thing or system that they have to need to put in place is clearly the back-end support structure. So the call support system, the customer service, the hotline, the robot chat that they need to put in place, the crisis control management, all those persons that are behind the scenes that, for example, handle the hundreds and thousands of calls and complaints and issues and whatnot behind, say, a well-developed e-commerce platform or a well-developed, you know, portal for delivery of an existing service. Those kind of systems will be needed because you're going to get a huge influx of application queries. There's going to be a huge volume of traffic. And who knows, there could even be some potential hacker out there realizing that, hey, this is a good opportunity to, you know, show my mettle out there and decide to start crashing websites, crashing the very Grab Malaysia app just for the sake of it, right? So in that sense, do we have the manpower on the ready to say that if there's going to be that much of people coming in, do we have enough bandwidth? Can we handle complaints? Can we handle the issues that may come up? What if somebody has been given a wrong date to travel? Or what happens if somebody says, I want to travel on a particular date and then realize an emergency has happened and he needs to go or she needs to go one day sooner to, you know, their hometown or whatnot. So, you know, are they ready to handle this kind of complaints? Are they going to be in the typical, you know, there is that stereotype that when it comes to dealing with the government side, you're not going to get a friendly, helpful bureaucrat sitting at the other end of the phone line or the computer or the chatbot. And you're going to get somebody who's just going to say, I'm off for a coffee break or call this person and just get a run around. There's no time for run around. So do we have that back-end systems ready? To me, that would be a major concern. And do we have that, you know, on the ready? And I hope we do, because otherwise things are just going to crash before they even pick up.
Right. Now, focusing on the mechanics of Gerak Malaysia, can you help us understand what makes a QR code the appropriate tech to use to ensure that a travel permit is used correctly?
That's a good question. QR codes, just like any other methods of verification, are always going to be subject to abuse. But what makes it unique and suitable in this situation is that it is something that is very easily available. In terms of being able, for someone to be able to use the technology, there are so many QR code readers out there and scanners, and majority of them are free. So it makes it very accessible for most people. It's not a very exclusive technology that is not accessible to majority of the people. Everyone is able to download the QR code reader and able to get this going. And similarly, when it goes to sensing or the sensors that are needed to read a QR code, again, those sensors are not expensive. They are very easily obtained, very easily purchased. So for the police officer out there who's going to carry this and make this happen, it is a mobile device. It is very portable, and therefore it makes it very easy in terms of usability of it. What is more important is that the QR code has to be sort of rolled out together with the enforcement side of things. It has to be ensured that whoever is traveling, of course, I mean, when they are stopped, there's going to be the double verification of QR code and possibly your IC document or any other supporting document you had used when you made the application. So that would, of course, ensure that, you know, the amount of abuse is reduced. because QR codes are very easily shared. If I get a QR code, I could easily share it with someone else. So if done properly, it will of course not be a problem. But I guess moving forward, another way to manage this would be having some kind of a biocentric ID method, which is unique to that individual. But that is not something that's easily obtained. It's not easy for example, to say, are you going to use my fingerprint to ensure that I'm the right person traveling? Can be done, but how are you going to roll that out? At the same time, are you going to scan my eyes? So it might be moving to that direction someday, but for now, QR code, together with effective enforcement and checks, would be a good way to manage this whole process.
Okay, so the app also requires access to your GPS location. And of course, that's the norm for things like food delivery apps. But should there be any cause for concern when it's the government having access to your physical location?
Well, the government having access to the physical location, of course, is a concern for many. And it rightfully ought to be. But for the current purposes, there is no other way but to have that in place. The reason being, one of the ways in which the whole idea or the whole sort of plan behind this Garap Malaysia is the authorities must be able to know that if you say you are stuck in Penang and you need to go to KL, the authorities must be able to say that indeed you have made the application and at the point of making the application, your location was indeed in Penang at the address you say that you were at your home address or whichever place you're stuck in. And when you're traveling on that day, I'm fairly certain they're going to do a spot check of sorts. They can see, all right, the person is en route from Penang to Kuala Lumpur. Therefore, it confirms that, whatever that you had asked for and whatever you said, whatever you intend to do has in fact happened. So therefore, it becomes a necessary tool. But I think what is important is once that travel is over, then the user should be allowed to then switch off the GPS location aspect of it, and that should be the end of it. There should not be a continuous need to then, have the ability to, again, see where you're going. But this should only be exercised during that period of travel and not beyond that.
So, Ryan, thank you so much for breaking that down for us. That was Ryan Singh Sidhu, partner at Law Partnerships, giving us his take on Garap Malaysia, the app that will be used to coordinate interstate travel that begins, well, quite soon. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.